Democracy doesn't collapse suddenly. It erodes gradually, with warning signs we often miss until it's too late. In How Civil Wars Start, renowned political scientist Barbara F. Walter delivers a sobering revelation. The United States is displaying the same warning patterns that precede civil wars elsewhere. After decades studying conflicts in places like Syria and Yugoslavia for the CIA-funded Political Instability Task Force, Walter turned her analytical lens homeward and discovered alarming parallels. The most dangerous situation isn't full autocracy or robust democracy, but the precarious middle ground between them, what scholars call anocracies. These hybrid regimes maintain democratic facades while power consolidates among elites who gradually dismantle institutional guardrails. Countries in this dangerous middle zone are 3 times more likely to experience civil war than full democracies. Even more concerning, America's democratic rating has fallen dramatically in recent years, placing us squarely in this danger zone for the first time since 1800. What transforms political disagreements into violent conflict? The answer lies in factionalism, when politics reorganizes around identity rather than ideas. Consider Yugoslavia after authoritarian leader Tito's death in 1980. Despite decades of relative stability, the country fractured along ethnic lines within just 2 years. This pattern emerges repeatedly in civil conflicts worldwide. When political parties form exclusively around ethnicity, religion, or geography rather than policy platforms, society becomes dangerously brittle. The risk escalates dramatically when super factions emerge, groups sharing not just ethnicity, but also religion, class, and geographic location. These identity-based divisions are exploited by opportunistic leaders who Walter calls ethnic entrepreneurs, figures who cynically use fear to mobilize supporters. They control media narratives to convince citizens they face existential threats from rival groups while simultaneously claiming their own group's superiority. Think about how our own politics increasingly revolves around identity rather than governance issues. When was the last time you had a conversation about policy without it devolving into tribal signaling about which side you're on? Civil wars often begin when once dominant groups experience downgrading, losing political status they believe they're entitled to. While humans may tolerate poverty or discrimination, they rarely accept losing status in what they consider their rightful homeland. In Northeast India's Assam region, local Hindu Assamis watched Bengali Muslims immigrate over decades. When election rolls showed a surge in Bengali voters in 1979, the Assamis formed resistance movements that culminated in the 1983 Nelli massacre, a desperate act by a population feeling threatened by demographic change. Economic factors intensify these resentments. Modernization and globalization typically favor educated, urban populations while disadvantaging rural communities. Climate change compounds this threat, with the World Bank predicting 140 million climate migrants by 2050. The Syrian civil war exemplifies this dynamic. A devastating drought drove 1.5 million mostly Sunni people into Alawite-dominated cities, creating sectarian tensions that eventually exploded. Sound familiar? America's own demographic shifts are creating similar anxieties among groups that have historically dominated the nation's politics and culture. When people feel their identity-based status slipping away, they become susceptible to extremist messages promising to restore their rightful place. Civil wars typically begin not with the first injustice, but when a group loses all hope for peaceful change. Northern Ireland's troubles exemplify this pattern. Catholics had endured centuries of discrimination, but violence erupted only after peaceful civil rights protests met brutal force. When British soldiers, initially welcomed as protectors, began raiding Catholic neighborhoods, culminating in 1972's Bloody Sunday massacre, hope for peaceful reform died. The Provisional IRA stepped into this vacuum. Similarly, Syria's descent into civil war accelerated when Assad responded to peaceful protests with violence rather than reform. Protests don't cause civil war. They represent hope that the system will respond. Violence becomes attractive when protests repeatedly fail. Since 2010, protests worldwide have reached the highest level since 1900, yet their success rate dropped from 65% in the 1990s to just 34%. Elections become dangerous when downgraded groups believe they'll never gain power through democratic means. When people see no path to justice through established channels, what options remain? The internet, intended to democratize information and connect humanity, has instead become a tool for division. Myanmar demonstrates this danger. When Facebook entered during the country's democratic transition, Buddhist ultra-nationalists immediately used it to spread hate speech against Muslims. Despite warnings, Facebook only responded after violence escalated to genocide in 2017. Social media's business model prioritizes engagement for advertising revenue, and research shows people engage more with fear than calm, falsehood over truth, and outrage over empathy. Posts with moral or emotional language get 20% more shares, while indignant disagreement receives nearly twice as many likes. Algorithms create information silos that push users toward increasingly extreme content, what one computer scientist called a radicalization pipeline. These platforms accelerate democratic decline by heightening divisions. As one Facebook executive admitted, right-wing populism is always more engaging, triggering primitive reactions through appeals to nation, protection, anger, fear. We now inhabit entirely different realities, not just different information ecosystems. The January 6th Capitol insurrection wasn't an anomaly. It was the predictable outcome of America's democratic erosion. On democracy's 21-point scale, plus 10 being full democracy, minus 10 autocracy, America fell to plus 5 following the 2020 election crisis, officially an anocracy, hybrid regime, for the first time since 1800. This represents an unprecedented 5-point drop in just 5 years. While some democratic guardrails held in 2020, America's deeper problem is politics transforming into identity warfare. Race has become the strongest predictor of voting patterns, with 2/3 of Black, Latino, and Asian Americans voting Democratic, while about 60% of white Americans vote Republican. Religion, geography, and education level have also become powerful identity markers in political alignment. According to CIA analysis, the United States likely entered the pre-insurgency phase in the early 1990s following Ruby Ridge and Waco. Militia groups surged after Obama's election, growing from 43 in 2008 to 334 by 2011. Today's militias are predominantly right-wing with white supremacist elements, unlike earlier left-leaning extremist groups. Civil wars aren't inevitable. Even high-risk countries can avoid conflict. South Africa in the 1980s seemed headed for bloodshed with its apartheid system, autocratic government, and racial divisions. Yet war was averted when economic sanctions prompted President F.W. de Klerk to implement reforms, recognizing that continued white rule would lead to economic collapse and unwinnable conflict. This highlights leadership's crucial role in preventing violence. Countries that successfully avoid civil war typically strengthen democratic institutions rather than abandoning them. Three critical features include rule of law, equal application of legal procedure, voice and accountability, citizen participation in selecting government, and government effectiveness, quality of public services. America can strengthen these pillars through reforms like creating an independent election management system, reinforcing voting rights, addressing gerrymandering, improving civic education, and regulating divisive social media platforms. As America approaches becoming a majority-minority nation by 2045, we face a choice: embrace our founding ideal of e pluribus unum, or risk the factional violence that has destroyed other nations. Our current decisions will determine whether future generations inherit a vibrant democracy or the ashes of a preventable civil war.